Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Guys, the National Comms USA Today, it's Dan Walken making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show, Big Interview, presented by the FedEx St. Jude Championship, August 10th through the 14th at TPC Southwind in Memphis. Get your tickets at pgatour.com. The Big Interview on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
So, Dan, you had an interesting column posted yesterday, headlined, Relying on Congress to Fix College Sports is a Road to Nowhere. Expand on that thought, please.
Yeah, man. Listen, I've been hearing all summer from these conference commissioners and athletic directors, people around college sports, oh, we need Congress to step in. We need Congress to make a law. We need Congress to sort out NIL. It's just too complicated, all these state laws. And I'm just tired of hearing it. Like, I just want to tell these people, do your job. This is part of your job. You can't rely on Congress to do what you need to do to save your enterprise. If that's what you're counting on, then you're going to be disappointed. Because, let's face it, the United States Congress can potentially do a lot of things, but the structure of our government makes it difficult. And in some ways, that's by design, but it's also a product of, you know, deep divides in partisan politics. It's a product of, you know, the fact that you need 60 votes in the United States Senate to pass a law, which is extremely difficult when you're basically at 50-50. Democrats and Republicans don't really seem to have the same agenda when it comes to college sports, and we've been at this now for 3 years, so to think that something's going to get done, you know, just because some political party gets a few more seats than they had last time, that's totally a fallacy. And, you know, the longer the NCAA and the people running college sports don't address the issue head on, then the more it's just going to fester.
Why would Congress even want to be involved in this? Like, I know you can do multiple things at the same time, but it seems like Congress, there's a lot more important things they need to be focusing on, you know, rather than putting in guardrails for name, image, and likeness opportunities for student athletes.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of things that are on these people's plates. You've certainly got, you know, economic issues, healthcare issues, military. There's all kinds of things that are always going to be ahead of college sports in the line. You know, now, they pass bills, mundane bills, sometimes that we don't necessarily notice, but this is fairly complex stuff. And, you know, it just takes a lot to get something that complex through the Senate and then through the House. And, you know, they've had different committees. They've had the Commerce Committee. There was another committee that had a hearing on this, and you know, just nothing ever comes out of it. And now you've got Tommy Tuberville out there talking about how they need to, you know, do something for purposes of competitive equity. That's what he was talking about. He made this announcement with Joe Manchin from West Virginia, who I probably should have noted in the column is a good, you know, basically a lifelong friend of Nick Saban. But they didn't really have any specifics. It's just, oh, well, you know, now it's my turn to step up to the plate. And he's talking about competitive equity. And I'm sorry, but NIL is not really about competitive equity. I mean, the same teams are, you know, we're about to release the top 25 poll Monday.
at USA Today Sports. And it, you know, I've seen it. It looks pretty much the same as it always looks. And, you know, it's NIL's been here for a couple of years now, and there's not been a lot of changes, and it's not going to be. So this is never about competitive equity. This is about controlling college athletes. And if that's the end game here, if that's what college sports wants Congress to do, is have a bill that essentially limits what college athletes can do and the economic power they can have, that's not going to work either.
Yeah, it's the same way in men's basketball, and nothing has changed. I mean, you look at the preseason rankings, Gonzaga is number one yet again. Kansas is our reigning national championship. Right now, Duke and Kentucky got the two best recruiting classes in the country. Like, if you look pre-NIL at all of this stuff and look post-NIL at all of this stuff, it looks largely the same. So I'm with you. This has never been about competitive balance. It's always been about controlling the student-athletes and controlling the money. I'm talking to Dan Wilkin from USA Today. I saw, I believe it's Tom Mars, the famed attorney out of Arkansas, who has battled the NCAA, retweet your column and say more or less, this is the only way to actually resolve this is through collective bargaining. You and I have talked about this before, but how does that even start? Let's say new people are in power, they realize they've got to go that direction, and they say, okay, we're ready to collectively bargain with student athletes. What happens then?
Well, it certainly is interesting to think about all the steps that are going to need to be made before you get there. And it's not just as simple as snapping your fingers and saying, all right, we're going to bargain a contract. That's not exactly how it works. You know, I do think that there's going to be some hardships along the way in terms of states. You know, when you talk about different state laws with NIL, those are fairly minor differences. You know, there are a lot of differences in state law when it comes to labor unions. And, you know, if the college athletes are deemed employees, are they employees of the states, of the public university, or are they employees of, you know, an athletic department that is, you know, separate from the university in terms of how it's structured? And that may have to be how it is. You know, you basically are going to have to move all of these athletic departments into a different kind of business structure that then has a, you know, collective bargaining power. And then you have some type of trade union or professional professional organization among college athletes that has the power to, you know, make a contract and sit at the table and negotiate just like they do in MLB and just like they do in the NFL. And, you know, certainly it's not going to be easy. It's not something that could happen overnight. But, you know, in terms of being able to make all these rules and set the limits, and actually I think it's the best way that colleges can retain power, because right now they have no power. This is all kind of spinning out of their control, and it's going to continue to do that until there's some type of bargaining position that they can take on collectively, and there's someone at the other side of the table who's willing to make concessions and agreements.
Talking to Dan Wilkin from USA Today. Moving on, why is John Calipari scared to go to the kennel?
What? I'm sorry, what did he want? I can't hear. I couldn't hear you.
Why is John Calipari so scared to go to the kennel at Gonzaga?
Oh, the kennel. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's never wanted to play in the kennel. I mean, even when he was at Memphis, they negotiated that series with Mark Few, and that was the deal breaker, right? Was that they had to play at the Spokane Arena downtown. And, you know, I mean, I think this is like typical Calipari, which is, you know, kind of make mountains out of molehills. I mean, okay, you're playing at the kennel, which is whatever, 6,000 seats, versus playing at the Spokane Arena, which is what, 10,000 seats, and it's, you know, half a mile down the road. Like, ultimately, who cares, right? Like, what difference does it actually make in terms of, you know, who's going to, not maybe, you know, not even who's going to win the game, but just in terms of, like, your overall season, like, what difference does it make? You're all, you know, this is all about gaining, you know, experience and trying to get ready for the NCAA tournament, and you're not going to get penalized in seeding or any of the metrics by playing on the road. Like, but, you know, it's just a control thing, and it's Calipari trying to exert control in a negotiation by positioning Kentucky as, you know, the big dog, even though they haven't really been very good for a while.
Yeah, Kentucky is one of the best basketball programs of all time, one of the biggest brands in the sport. But for at least the past 6 years, the better program, undeniably, has been Gonzaga, not Kentucky.
Yeah.
And the better team on paper heading into next season, also Gonzaga, not Kentucky. Wrap it up here with Dan Walken from USA Today. Last thing before I let you go, and I know you're not a legal expert, but I know you've also followed this PGA Tour LIV Golf thing. Earlier this week, Phil Mickelson and 10 other LIV employees filed an antitrust lawsuit against the PGA Tour. Do you have a sense for how worried the PGA Tour should be about this?
No, I don't. But, you know, I look, fundamentally, you know, my gut feeling about it is that the PGA Tour, you know, should be able to set rules that say, if you want to be a member and play in events we sanction, then, you know, you can't go play in these other events. But, you know, have they, in the course of reaching that conclusion, have they tied up all the loose ends legally? Have they, you know, because these guys are independent contractors, right? That's part of this whole narrative is golfers are independent contractors. They're not getting paid salaries by the PGA Tour, but it is a membership organization. So, you know, I'm not sure how that's all going to shake out in the courts. But, you know, certainly if it doesn't go the PGA Tour's way, well, then they're looking at a pretty fundamental change in their business model. And it could be the thing that allows the LIV Golf Tour to kind of take off and thrive.
That is Dan Walken from USA Today. Make sure you're reading him, usatoday.com. He's on Twitter, at Dan Walken. Thanks, buddy. Enjoy your weekend.
All right, man. See you.
I'll see you. Bye-bye. Dan Walken, USA Today. What do you think was going on right there in the background at the end of that?
I don't know. A lot going on.
Sounds like there was a lot going on.
Yeah, a lot going on.
Sounds like there was something happening over there.
Yeah.
Back to the John Calipari thing.
Uh-huh.
We recorded Island College Basketball podcast earlier today. We're doing this summer series, 20 teams in 10 weeks, two a week. We're doing it in alphabetical order. And so, you know, Alabama, Auburn, Arizona, Arkansas. And we went ahead and recorded the two for next week today because Matt Norlander is going on vacation next week. And so today we knocked out Duke and Gonzaga. And so naturally in the Gonzaga podcast, we touched on the Kentucky series and the back and forth between John Calipari and Mark Few. And one of the points I made is that, you know, when John is explaining nonsensically, illogically, but I'm sure it makes sense in his head, when he's explaining why he can't take Kentucky to the kennel, he is rationalizing by saying, more or less, this is Kentucky basketball. We do not play in 6,000-seat arenas. Like, I've done the research. Kentucky basketball has never played a true road game in a 6,000-seat arena. So, like, it just, this is not what Kentucky basketball does. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you have a 6,000-seat on-campus arena that you call home, but this is Kentucky basketball. We don't play in arenas that size. So if you want us, we're willing to come play you, but you got to put us in a bigger arena because we're Kentucky basketball. The problem with that explanation is, though, it may well be technically true that Kentucky basketball has never played a true road game in an arena that small, dating back to the 70s. What you have to remember is that he did the same thing when he was at the University of Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
We're not playing at the kennel. Now, is Memphis basketball too big to play a road game in a 6,000-seat arena? Answer, no. You know how I know? Because they do it every year at Tulane.
That's a good point.
It's 4,000 seats. Fogelman Arena, or whatever they're calling it these days. 4,000 seats. And he took Memphis basketball there every year while he was the Memphis coach. But when it came time to play Gonzaga, wouldn't go to the kennel. So it's got nothing to do with the size of the arena. It's got something to do with he has to feel like he always has an advantage. That's it. He always has to feel like he has an advantage. And the way he's setting this up, if you saw the tweet, he said, I was disappointed that we have to start the series there. So what is he? What he's effectively doing is saying, I've already given in to you. Like, this isn't a negotiation. Well, I've already compromised with you by coming there first. All right? So that's what I'm doing for you. And what you're going to do for me is play us in downtown Spokane instead of at the Kennel. Like a tit for a tat. Except, who cares where a series starts? You're going to play one game there and one game back in Lexington. Does the order of it matter?
No.
Not really. Unless you think, listen, Gonzaga's number one in the country this year. I'm going to their place this year. It'd be better to bring them to our place this year and try to play the number one team in the country at home and then trust that they won't be as good next season when we go there on to play them on the road. Like, maybe you could make that flimsy argument, but the truth is, Gonzaga has finished number one at KenPom in four of the past 6 years. There is nothing in recent history to suggest Gonzaga is going to look much different next season than it looks this season. Maybe different players, but they're still going to be awesome because they have been the most consistently awesome program in college basketball for at least the last 6 years. I pulled the numbers on it earlier today. They have finished first at KenPom in four of the past 6 years and second in another year and 10th in the other year. So their average finish at KenPom in the past 6 years is 2.66. Average finish past 4 years, 1.25. Nobody else in college basketball can even sniff those numbers. So there's no reason to think they'll be much different next season. Bottom line, it's all BS. He just has to feel like he's winning something. And I had people ask me, why is John scared to go to the Kennel? And I genuinely don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Yeah. I just know that he is.
Because, I mean, like you said, like, Gonzaga's number one. So you're going to be an underdog anyways. If you lose that game, not
who
a big deal.
Cares?
Yeah, it's not a big deal if Kentucky loses
it's
that game.
This is not college football where if you lose a game, it could really cost you a shot in the playoff.
Spring is a time of renewal. So why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, oh, oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.